It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, time where we take a look at the stories that you'll find in the Lakeville Journal, and some of them even in the sister paper, the Millerton News. We've got, I know, Cynthia Hasselmunder online there. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet Manko should be online there.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, so we have to apologize to everybody because usually the week of Thanksgiving is very quiet, and we often pre-write a lot of stuff just on the assumption that there will be very little natural news. And we do have, in fact, news from our towns, but we had so many obituaries at the last minute. Really, you know, so hard for families to lose somebody in this year at all, but to lose them over the Thanksgiving holiday. And some, you know, young people, very, very sad obits. A lot of them came in late. So when you open the Lakeville Journal, what you'll see largely is, I think, 3 pages of obituaries. There's one story from Cornwall sort of nestled in there, but if you go into the B section, you'll find more town stories, but we will have more stories in next week. And we had prepared the property transfers from the last 4 or 5 months, I guess, and had planned to run most of those in this issue and weren't able to at the last minute, literally had to pull off an entire page of property transfers to make room for remembrances, because I think that is what's most important to people, is being able to remember their loved ones.
Well, so. And also, we've talked about this before, going into holiday seasons, it's a strange cycle, but it seems like that's where a majority of these obituaries occur.
And it's skewed a little bit, because what often happens is during the holidays, and this is why we didn't actually expect to have a lot of them this week, is often during the holiday season, the family and the funeral home will delay sending the obituaries in, so you get a clump of them at once. So, for instance, in our first issue in the new year in January, we would anticipate having a lot because we will have been on hiatus for a week, so we'll have 2 weeks' worth. And as you say, a lot of people do kind of hold on until they can have that last gathering with their family or a last favorite holiday season, and then we'll sort of, you know, we'll slip away after that. But yeah, a lot of obituaries, a lot of really rough ones.
All right. One of the main stories that's on the front page, which gets my attention simply because there's a fight that's going on in Salisbury about a piece of land that had restrictions put on it that somebody once again is breaking. But this is good news on Mount Riga, and that is the Yoakum Preserve that Patrick Sullivan talks about that has 250 acres, give or take some.
Give or take. Alice and Bob Yoakum, wonderful citizens of the town, had purchased, they own some property along Reservoir Road in Lakeville, and then almost straight uphill toward the top of Mount Riga. And they had purchased that property many, many years ago to protect it from development, although it's a very difficult site to develop anyway because it's, you know, it's largely hilly. But Alice went ahead and put it into easement. And so the story that Marshall is referring to is in the Twin Lakes area, Mary Alice White, who had been a huge conservationist here, very important, very active person in preserving the land. And for people who have lived here for a long time, this is a very important topic, which is maintaining Litchfield County, keeping it looking the way that it's looking. And as Blake Levitt once said to me, Litchfield County doesn't look the way it looks because nobody's paying attention or by accident. It looks this way because people work very hard to protect it. And Roberta Willis and Andrew Warbeck were very active in making sure that land was set aside, that the state was helping to purchase land to conserve and preserve the beauty of this very unique part of the world. So the Nature Conservancy owns a parcel of land, or has the easement on a parcel of land, in the very roughly wild area of Salisbury called Twin Lakes. Twin Lakes has become a big magnet for people to build in, and what had been largely a cottage area where people from, you know, Canaan and Salisbury had their summer homes, they would reach it by train, the families would stay there in their little uninsulated cottages. More and more people are building these very grand properties there and changing the nature of that community, which, you know, it's their property, they can do what they want, but there is an easement protection on this Mary Alice White property, which includes a causeway. And we had seen this also in Lakeville, on Lakeville Lake, that somebody came in and, even though they were restricted and not supposed to be doing it, they clear-cut a ton of trees to improve their view of the lake. So that seems to be what's happening here in Twin Lakes also. So there's an inland wetlands meeting on December 7th. A lot of people are coming out. I know the whole Harney family is very actively involved in making sure that that this restriction is not broken. And it's not just the clearing of the trees, which is already worrisome. It's the fact that the Nature Conservancy has this easement and is not protecting it. And if that's allowed to happen, and with all of these new people coming up who maybe have not been fully indoctrinated in the way that we do things up here, might think, well, you know, it's my property, I'm going to do what I want. And so there's an easement on it. You know, it's built into your taxes and the deed that you're required to do these things to protect the land. These protections were set up in a very particular way. A lot of money was spent to make it that way, so you can't just come in and change it because you don't like it. And if the Nature Conservancy is not going to protect this, then it does not bode well for other protected properties all over the Northwest Corner, which could really drastically change the way that our area looks.
Yeah, I interviewed John Harney today. They've got a petition going around. And I've got that petition up on our on-demand page as well. But that's a story that you'll have more in full, of course, once that meeting takes place. But still, it's something I'm glad you brought that up, because I brought it up with John. You would think with what happened on Lakeville Lake, a year and a half ago, that something like this just wouldn't happen, because an easement is an easement. I mean,
And the Nature Conservancy is a pretty powerful group. It's not like they're not, and you know, all of our land trusts work very hard and are really paying attention, but you know, you have to look a little bit at the town commissions, who work very hard, but you know, and we have a new zoning enforcement officer, so you know, I don't know her yet. I don't know how cautious she is and how comfortable she is yet, sort of saying to people like, that's just not going to happen. So it is in everybody's best interest to attend this Zoom online meeting on December 7th. You can find the link on the Town of Salisbury website. And, you know, let them know that you're paying attention and that you care and that you understand that there are larger implications of this for the whole region. And, you know, I apologize for having an opinion on this, which I guess I shouldn't really do, but it is a big deal. And with all of these new people coming in, there is the danger that the nature of this very lovely community that we have will change slightly. And change is good, but you know, there was always a sort of a beauty and an innocence about this region that is worth preserving.
All right. You've got a story by on COVID-19, where we've come from, where we stand now, and who knows where we're going next.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a moving target, isn't it? And so there was just an announcement from Lisa. This is a conversation about things that are also happening in the future. So the Region 1 Lisa Carter, interim superintendent, sent out a note yesterday saying, I think there are 3 students at Housatonic who came back from Thanksgiving with positive test results. There are a couple people who are community members but not actually on the campus at the elementary schools. So Lisa Carter is calling a special meeting of the Region 1 board tonight at, I think, 6:30?
Yes.
And it seems likely that there will be some shift in the way that that school is being handled as we return. There's one town I know in the southern part of the state where they just said, for 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, we're going remote, just no matter what, because like, let's just assume that all you need is one person, so let's just be careful. So that may be what is in store for Region 1. We'll find out tonight. And also, I just want to say, for that meeting on Inland Wetlands about the Mary Alice White Causeway, that meeting is on a Monday night. So to make sure that we have everything carefully checked, we don't want to rush with that story, so that will not be in our December 10th issue. It will be in our December 17th issue.
All right. It's interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. The best story I've heard out of the whole pandemic is that, I won't mention what school, but a student was going around after Thanksgiving telling all his friends in the hallway that they went to Michigan. Right? And a teacher heard it, thank goodness, went to the nurse, they found out, and they just had the family quarantine. The family had no problem with quarantine once they tested themselves. But
did they test positive?
One member of the family did, yes.
Did they have symptoms?
Yeah. What?
Did they have symptoms?
Yes. Yeah. But anyway.
Interesting. It's interesting because even people who are very well-meaning and want to do the best thing, we all slip up in certain ways. Like we all have, there's a list of 20 things we should be doing. We all do 10 of them, but it's not, you know, all of the same 10. So, you know, I guess we all have to be more diligent and good for them for being responsive and not fighting back.
Let's go to the better news, and that is the Parade of Lights that took place in North Canaan was very successful. A lot of people lined up to see that Parade of Lights.
Huge crowd. And, you know, when we had we were trying to put together the list of which towns were doing Halloween trick-or-treating, a couple of the towns were very cagey about it and really didn't want to say whether they were doing trick-or-treating or not. And the reason was they were afraid that people from other towns who didn't have trick-or-treating would flood their town. And this seems to be what happened in North Canaan, where usually North Canaan's is the first of several parades of light in our area towns. Usually there's one in Kent, there's one in Millerton, there's, you know, tree lightings, there's carol singing, there's one in Salisbury. So this year, if those things are happening, they're not letting, they're not really letting us know ahead of time. But North Canaan did go ahead and had theirs, and they said it was the largest crowd they've had, and I think the most fire trucks, too. And, you know, we always hope that people will, again, you know, wear masks and do their best to protect themselves and protect others. I would say, based on the photos, not everybody was doing that. So there are things coming up this weekend that are, we hope, will be on a smaller scale, and we do hope that people will make sure to wear their masks.
And for people in Sharon, there will be no formal tree lighting. The tree will be lit this Saturday, but the Hotchkiss Library is doing a socially distanced event on Saturday as well, so you can check with hotchkisslibrary.org for that.
And, of course, the Luminaria that the ambulance has sponsored, if you, it's too late now to buy one, but they, so I think there were going to be 1,000 lit bags out on the green in memory of people who we've lost, or in memory of people that we love who are still here with us today.
I got another story here, which is a great, well, you have a great little picture there, the muscular struggle for and against the women's right to vote.
Leela Hawken is just such a funny writer and so interesting. And so Eileen Frank, who is with the Connecticut Historical Society, where our beloved Liz Shapiro is now at, Eileen did a talk on Zoom for the Scoville Library and the Salisbury Association Historical Society on November 21st. And this, of course, has been a big year for celebrating the history of women getting the right to vote. So very interesting presentation by Eileen, and she was nice enough to share some great images with us, which are in this issue. But really not just about, you know, we worked for it and we got it, but about efforts by women to not get the vote. So a different, interesting point of view on a really important part of our lives today.
All right. Inside, tell me about that holiday jigsaw puzzle.
Well, thank you for asking. I'm so excited about this. I love jigsaw puzzles, and I love this painting by, or there was a black and white drawing that we have here in the office that I've always loved. It's by Marianne von Rossen-Hugendijk, who has such a wonderful name, and was the daughter of a fairly well-known artist and also a very good artist herself, and also often did artwork for the Lakeville Journal. And she made this beautiful poster for us in 1958 that showed our former office at Pocket Knife Square in the center, and then beautiful little drawings of each of the towns at different seasons of the year surrounding it. And, you know, again, to talk about the innocence of the lost age of our northwest corner towns, when you look very closely at these drawings, you think, like, wow, that's Cornwall Village, and that's, you know, that's Kent. It's hard to believe that there were cows standing next to the train station. So we decided to make a jigsaw puzzle out of it. My daughter had found a website that does really good work, and my daughter colorized each of the different towns so that it didn't make you completely insane to try to complete an all-black-and-white puzzle. And we are offering it for sale as a fundraiser for the Lakeville Journal. We have the link to the website there. We hope people will buy it. We've already had one sale. We tried to keep the prices as low as possible so people can afford to buy them, so they're within the realm of what you would pay for a normal jigsaw puzzle. But we get a small percentage of it. And what we're really looking to see is if people are interested in this. We have all these wonderful old advertisements in past Lakeville journals, and every time people look at them, they are so transported to a different time. Sometimes they remember it. Sometimes they just think, like, wow, what a cute thing this was. So if there's enough interest in this, we will continue to make more jigsaw puzzles.
All right. And you've got a story about internet access in Cornwall, and an interesting thing happened there where the internet committee didn't accept the $500 because the town said if you accept money from the town, you've got to post minutes and you have to have agendas. And they said, well, we'll pay for it ourselves. And a lot of townspeople said, no, that's just not right.
Right. It was an interesting conversation because what you're really talking about is communication and the open sharing of information. But so Gary Stein-Cole has put together a committee of 12 people to study internet access, which is a very big problem, especially right now with people working at home and where you have families with multiple children who are all studying online with their you know, the shared, you know, pipe of internet speed coming into your house, which obviously I'm not an internet expert. So Leela covered this meeting where they were discussing it and discussing the need of potentially having these meetings open to the public. What Gary really wants to do is he wants to hear from everybody. So there's going to be information in our next issue, December 10th. Rob Buccino, who actually does understand the internet, has interviewed Gary and Johan Windsor about this committee and about the survey that they're doing in January, because it's not, you know, Cornwall, as we know, is often the town that's the last to get high-speed communication. They were, I think, one of the last towns in the state to get cable. And the Board of Ed, I know, is watching and making sure that all children have access to Chromebooks and to the Internet so they can get, you know, equal access to their study materials. But it does seem that not everybody has, I mean, even in Salisbury, not everybody has Internet, not everybody has cell phone service. So they want to get an actual survey done. They're hoping that everybody participates and says, yes, this is what we have. This is the speed that we get. So look for that article in next week's Lakeville Journal.
All right, I want to go to the editorial pages first because you've got the editorial. Let's remember how we did it in March, April, and May, especially now because with the vaccines possibly coming out, really, we shouldn't really, you know, throw everything away we already did.
Right, and so there's no sign of Janet yet, I guess. So Janet wrote a wonderful editorial on just reminding us that how diligent we were in March and that the numbers are not really any less scary right now. I think that if you look at the state website, it looks to me like the death rate is lower at the moment, but the hospitalizations are creeping up every day. If you if you go online to the ct.gov, there's a portal you can link up so you can get an email notice from the governor every day where they put the statistics in, and you can go to the portal and look at the data. So it's not better. We're not safer now, if anything, especially here in the northwest corner. We're seeing more of it spreading throughout where we had been fairly immune from it before. So Janet's editorial is saying, you know, really we need to treat it the way that we treated it in March, but not hoard toilet paper. But do wear your mask. Do try to be as at home as possible. As winter's coming, make sure that you're staying home. Try not to travel. And we have a great letter from Hugh Cheney about something that I think that everybody notices is that the buses, when they stop, it's so tempting to just whiz by them. And even if you're sort of, you know, close to the bus and the sign comes out, it's tempting to just, you know, zip through, but you can't. You really have to stop. It's the law. And they're looking at putting cameras on the buses here, as they have in some other local rural areas, because there have been some incidents where people have been ignoring those stop signs. Affordable housing, lots of a really wonderful story, a letter from Al Janouvis about when he first moved here and about the importance of affordable housing to him. You know, definitely a very important part of our community. And we have, I've got these, all the pages are all screwed up. Oh, we had to take some of the columns off this week because of we had so many obituaries. But again, Amy Verschup having another good letter on affordable housing. Bruce Valentine, you know, about littering from a militant but wanted it in the Lakeville paper. And then Fritz Mueller about bittersweet, which is a plant. If you see those red berries on the side of the road, they're very pretty, and they make great Christmas ornaments. But, boy, do they spread. And once they get in your yard, they're almost impossible to get rid of. We've got some young men in North Canaan from the North Canaan Boy Scout Troop who have reached Eagle Scout. I'd never in my life until I moved here heard of so many people getting Eagle Scout, but it's a very strong, healthy, active Boy Scout program here. And then in Kent, a nice holiday greens market, and Martha Stewart came. Always happy to see that. And Patrick reporting on Adam Gopnik's talk for the Salisbury Forum, just kind of saying, you know, the election's over, maybe we all need to relax a little bit and be nice to our friends and neighbors again. We have a tiny little bit of the property transfers on B5, a reminder about the FFA holiday store. Am I going too fast? Are we going to have a lot of time left?
No, we have about 2.5 minutes left for your Compass.
Compass is, if I may say so myself, Compass is great this week. Sing Along Messiah, one of my favorite parts of the holiday season, and usually the day after Thanksgiving, I'm warbling around in the kitchen singing it and playing it. And my friend Mary Sullivan, Patrick's mother, had gone to a Sing Along Messiah with me and my friend Jody Potter once, and she's a wonderful singer, and we had felt badly that we were singing so badly. So I called up Christine Gebert and Randy Orzano from Crescendo and the Berkshire Children's Chorus we spoke to and said, what are some tips if you want to do a sing-along Messiah? This year you're going to be doing it at home. We have a link to the Bard Vaughn, which has had some very nice Zoom programs that they're going to have coming up an online Messiah sing-along with the words on the screen, which is really nice. We also have from the Hudson Valley, there's this wonderful place in Hudson called Basilica, and it's like a giant, it's like the Wasaic Project, but more horizontal, and they have a big fair once a year where they have all sorts of artisans selling stuff, so they can't do that this year, of course, but it's all online, so you can go onto their website and you can find links to all the little funny potions and hand knit this and that and some wonderful, beautiful leather stuff that we've got featured in there. And then the Trixie Strauss Bird Count is coming up. The grandmother of beloved local resident Tilly Strauss, who is now living in Switzerland and teaching. But the Trixie Strauss bird count is a very big deal. It's on December 20th. Sharon Audubon sponsors it. Even if you've never counted birds before, just, you know, sit at your bird feeder, sit by your window and just count the birds to your bird feeder and then check in. And if you don't know what the birds are, call up Audubon and they will explain to you how you can figure it out and how you can participate, because they want maximum participation. And lots of other little things. Christmas Carol, lots of different versions. Sharon Playhouse is doing one. This is a drive-in version at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, where they're doing it up on a balcony with masks on.
And, of course, Berkshire Botanical Gardens is having their big event, which is really holiday wreaths and stuff like that. But, once again, it is virtual.
Everything's virtual, which is kind of great in a way.
Well, I think by the time this is all over, there's going to be some benefits that come out of all the experiences we've been in and some things that we've learned along the way. So
I definitely participate in things I wouldn't have normally just because I can do it on Zoom.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, good job for filling in. We'll find out what happened to Janet and Janet's phone, but great job filling in there, Cynthia.
Thank you
so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and you can find them always at tricornernews.com, tricornernews.com, and right here on the radio on Thursday morning, and also on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.